Thank you, Billy. Thank all of you for being with us online tonight. We have such a great privilege, and I can't stress to you how much I appreciate the men who are here tonight, and we have men and women other than them who help us with the technological aspects of being online, and keeping Billy and Roy in line technologically is a real challenge, and they find that out pretty regularly, but we're so grateful for the super work that they do in keeping us going. This morning, Billy introduced us to the topic that he and I were asked to discuss on morality. And he gave us some ideas about morality and the definition of morality. Really, it's about choosing good and bad in our lives, and right and wrong. Good morals we have, bad morals we have. And what we have to fight is the consistent battle of making good choices in life. And those good choices are so very hard to make very often. And we tend to think, when we talk about someone with bad morals, somebody out there in the world that is a murderer or a rapist or a thief or somebody that is doing something that we just think of as horrible. But if you listen to the specific things that Paul called the works of the flesh, there are things that you and I have to deal with every day, attitudes that we have to deal with every day. To have a bad attitude, to have a poor language, to refuse to do something good when we could and should, those are immoral behaviors. It's hard for us to look at ourselves and think in terms of immoral behavior, but that would be what God would share with us as we read His Word. On the other hand, Billy read for us what Paul called those wonderful and beautiful concepts that we just love in our lives, because love is the very first one of them, the fruit of the Spirit. When we begin to see those things all around us, we enjoy it, we appreciate it. But to develop those to the greatest extent that we can in our lives, and to defeat those works of the flesh in our lives to the greatest extent that we can, is the challenge that God has placed before us. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us that we need to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling wherein we are called. That walk is the way we live life. Live your life in a worthy way to think about the way God calls us to walk, to live every day, the choices that we make. Sometimes in my values class that I taught for many years at the university, we would talk, of course, about the value system of people, and we would see someone making mistakes that we believe we would never make. And we would make a comment like, those people have no morals at all. That is always false. Every person, no matter how good you think they are, how bad you think they are, every person has a system of morals. Billy pointed out this morning that the key to it is, what is the standard of judgment that you use in making your moral choices? If you look in Romans 1, I have put on the screen verses 24 through 32. But when you begin to think about what Paul is saying here about the entire Gentile world as a practice, were there some good people in the Gentile world? I'm confident there were some good people. But as we look at the basic flow of life for the Gentile world, it was a very immoral lifestyle that they lived. And if when you look at verse 24, what an unthinkable statement. God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And for this reason, verse 26 says, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Paul gave a pretty strong statement to the Romans, as he did to the Galatians, about specific acts that are considered immoral, poor choices spiritually, and those people cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's how strongly God feels about the poor choices in our moral lives that we make. I've had people to say to me, "Boy, Roy, I can look through one of your ears and see out the other side." And what they were talking about is a choice that I made or a statement that I made would be as though I just had nothing up there with which to think and make a good choice. Empty-headed. There's just nothing there. That comment's been made to me several times over the years, sometimes in jest, sometimes people really meaning it. And I've had people to say to me, "You just don't have a mind at all. You are not thinking correctly." And so when we start thinking about an empty-headed, mindless life, we're not bragging. We're talking about something that people are going to tease you with as a joke, or they're going to be very serious that you are not a good thinker, you don't know what you're talking about, and your choices are so bad, it is though you're living life without thinking about it at all. Well, that's exactly what God is saying to us about morality. When we start thinking about morality, first of all, it's just simply choosing good or evil in life. God has given us in those things that Billy read in the Galatians chapter 5 that are the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the good choices that we make, and we need to be working and adding those things. Peter said to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly love. All of those things we know are good choices. That makes the morals that we have very good. But Paul lists all of these horrible things that the world would look at if they are calling them by those names. They're not good. Of course, we look at people who are living together. We call it cohabiting in our culture, and we don't think anything about that. We don't think about that as being immoral. We have such a habit. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who was a super guy in so many ways, and yet some words came out of his mouth. I don't think he even knew they were said. He knew to whom he was talking. He knew that I would preach against that kind of language, and it came out just like that anyway. He was not using his mind to think in ways that he should, and he was making poor choices. If you look at chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, in verse 17, Paul teaches these people to no longer live or walk as the Gentiles do. I read from you, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, that showed you exactly how the Gentiles walk. And now Paul is going to pick up that information to this letter to the Ephesian church. And he's telling us not to walk, not to live in the same way that they do. Well, what does that mean? Well, we've listed the sins. God calls immorality, these poor choices, these violations of God's will, that is sin. Do not live in sin as the Gentiles live in sin. Now, when we start thinking about an empty, useless mind, verse 17 said the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. That is an empty, useless concept. They don't have a mind that they are using to learn to live the way that they should. It is as though You could look in one ear and see out the other, or you don't have any mind at all kind of thinking that I mentioned earlier. The futility of their minds indicates that they were living an empty-headed, mindless life as we think about what they were doing. And Paul is teaching us that we must not do that. We become so much like the adulteress that the wise man wrote about in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20, when he said, this is the way of an adulteress. She eats, she wipes her mouth, and says, I have done nothing wrong. And that's the way the Gentile world was. They lived a life full of sin. And they would, as this text says, eat and wipe their mouth and say, I haven't done anything wrong at all. But if you remember, Paul reminded those Gentile brethren in Rome, you know God's will. You know that people who live this way cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But they are using their mind in the wrong way, or they're not using their mind at all. And so we see an empty, useless mind. And here in verse 18 of Ephesians 4, they cannot see to understand. They are darkened in their understanding. As I've grown just a little bit older, I love having more light on what I'm trying to read. I either like to have the words big, or I like to have a lot of light. Well, that's what God wants. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world and to shed light on what is good and what is bad. And when we begin to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, which we can as we read the message of God, when we see that, we can see God teaching us to be the light of the world. When we hear people making mistakes in the way in which they talk and see people making mistakes in the way that they behave, we need to be the light of the world, helping them see a much brighter path. These people couldn't see because they were darkened in their understanding. Go back and look at Romans 1, verse 21, beginning, where it says, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They were claiming to be wise. They became fools. They just would not see. It perhaps would be occasionally, for some reason, they could not see. But God teaches us that we can see, and so we do that. And it was their ignorance that separated them from God. If you look at verse 18 in Ephesians 4, Paul said they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. An alien is a person in a place where they do not really belong. If I were to go to a different country, I would be an alien in that country. When we have our citizenship in heaven and we begin to live, as Paul said the Ephesian brethren did back in chapter 2 and verse 12, we're going to be alienated from that kingdom that God has set up. We're going to be alienated from the king of that kingdom. And that's where the Gentiles were. They were alienated because they were ignorant of God's will, choosing not to see and choosing not to understand. So the ignorance that comes about because of the darkness, refusing the light that was in the world in the form of Jesus, and the light that was in the world, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 14, you're the light of the world. And they refuse to see what God wants them to see. And verse 18 says, this is because of a hard heart. They have been told, they have been told, and they have been told. And now their heart has become so hard, the seed will not penetrate it. You remember the parable of the sower? There was some seed that fell by the wayside ground, this hard ground. And the seed could not penetrate into that hard ground. And, of course, the birds of the air would come along and pluck the seed up. Jesus, in explaining this parable to us, says this is like a person whose heart is so hard, the Word of God will not penetrate it. And that has to be a hard heart because we are listening to a word. The sword of the Spirit is so powerful. It will penetrate deeply into our hearts when we are willing. But these people had hard hearts and would not listen. Paul, in talking to people who did not believe in God in Acts chapter 17, in beginning in verse 30, he talked about their ignorance. And he said the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now, right now, he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. God is going to judge the world based on the moral system that we choose. We can choose any kind of system that is out there available to us. Billy gave us several choices. It might be our friends. It might be what our parents taught us. It might be any number of things that culture is forcing toward us. But the choice is the Word of God. And the reason the choice is the Word of God to develop our moral system is God has fixed a day on which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Just because we don't know something about God or something about his will that he has opened our eyes so we can see, doesn't mean that we're going to be without difficulties when we stand before God. We're going to have to think. These people, Paul said, have lost the ability to feel sin in their lives. I remember when I was a child. I don't know why this doesn't happen anymore to me, but when I was a little child living on the farm, somebody that's scientifically knowledgeable or medically knowledgeable might tell me, but every now and then I would develop a wart. And I remember having a wart on my thumb. And I remember taking a needle and just sticking through that wart and picking at it, trying to get rid of it. And it was kind of seedy, and you could just peel off that wart sometimes. And when you got down to the skin part, you could feel. And when you started trying to rip that wart off, it would often create pain for you. But that wart would be like a piece of flesh in which you have no feeling at all. I've thought about that over and over again as I think about God teaching us that when we involve ourselves in immoral behavior of any kind, it might be a bad attitude, it might be some sexual sin, it might be some sin of drunkenness or anger or any of the sins that are listed in what God gives us as light to direct our path. We can stay around that. We can be involved in it so much. We can love people who are involved in it. You see, Paul said about the Romans, they not only practiced these things, but they encouraged other people to practice these things. And so we can get to where we don't have the ability for the Word of God to reach in, grab our hearts, and help us to change our lives. Here in verse 19, Paul said they become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. When I was a student at Freed Hardeman, every summer Jan and I would move to Memphis, and I would work with my brother who owned a fence company. And back in the 60s, chain link fences were the big deal. And we would work all day long, every day, with few exceptions, putting up chain link fences. Well, we put up mostly 4 feet high fences, and they would come in 50-foot rows, and it would be covered with a galvanized product. And when that galvanizing product would dry, it would leave pricks all over that wire. I remember reaching down to pick that wire up to take it down to where we needed to put it on the fence. And when I first started working in the summer, those pricks would cut my hands, and my hands would be so sore for a while, too dumb to wear gloves. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't. But after about a week, my hands would become callous. I could pick up that wire and not notice those pricks at all. That's the way people get with sin. And when they get that way with sin, they give themselves up. It's not just a matter of God giving them up, as Paul stated the Romans God did to the Gentiles, but we give ourselves up to sensuality. It's something we desire. It's something we want. And we become greedy to practice other kinds of impurity as well. When we start thinking about these people, what happens is they just develop an absence of restraint, no inhibitions, and they have an insatiable desire for pleasure. It's where our world is in many ways today. And we're looking at people who are living immoral lives as the Gentiles did. Now, here's the neatest thing about this. They did not learn their behavior from Christ. They could not claim to be Christ-like. They could not claim to be Christians in the truest sense of the word. We have a lot of people in our world today who claim to be Christians because they have some kind of faith in Jesus Christ. But when you take a look at what the Bible teaches us, and we recognize Romans 10:17, for example, that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We learn the behavior that Christ wants us to have by faith. We trust what God says is good. We trust what God says is right. We trust that if we practice those concepts that Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, that we're going to be leading good moral lives. But these people rejected that. They rejected God. They rejected the behavior that God says is right and good. And they began to work all kinds of impurity. And they were greedy to do so. They didn't learn that behavior from Christ. So God encourages us, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. This is where God wants every one of us living. And may God bless us to be in the light as we live life that Jesus has shed into our lives through his word. And may, as we go into the world, we be that light of the world that would help people put off that old self and be renewed in the spirit of their minds and put on that new self that's created after the likeness of God, living in true righteousness and holiness. There are so many times that we make mistakes, and perhaps there's someone listening who's made significant mistakes that your mistakes have become constant and consistent in your life, and you need to turn away from that. God gives us the opportunity to do that. If you need to communicate with any of us, the ministers, the elders, to turn your life back toward God, please do that. You can call any one of us. It would be easy to get a hold of any one of us. If you're a child that has never become a child of God, regardless of your age, the Bible teaches you to repent of your sins, confess his name before men, and be buried with him in baptism. If there is a way that Billy or I or any of the elders could help you fulfill that desire that you have to become a child of God through being buried with him in baptism, please call us. May God bless us to live in true righteousness and holiness. Would you bow as we close with a prayer? Father, thank you for the blessing of life. Thank you so much for warning us about living empty-headed, mindless lives immorally in this world. Thank you for helping us see the consequence of that. But Father, thank you for showing us the good way, the right way, so that each one of us can produce in our lives the fruit of the Spirit and live lives that reflect your holiness and your righteousness. We recognize that none of us will ever become perfect. And so we continue to need your grace, your mercy, your love, and your forgiveness. And may we ever, day by day, turn to you, to seek you, to love you, to obey you, that we might be your people. living as you live, so that we may die as our Lord died. And that is in harmony with you. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.